Well, welcome back, class. Church, you're the second year, right? Yeah, welcome back, class. Welcome to Church Unusual. You were in my Living by the Book class last year, so you know how we do it. We go in the scriptures and really find out what's going on and really get context. I kind of got a problem with the name of this class, and I always say it in all my classes. I kind of got a problem with the name of this class. Church Unusual, and it sounds dope, and it's a book that we, you know, sounds great and everything, but we shouldn't even have to say Church Unusual, because the church is already unusual. It shouldn't have to be a adjective added to a thing that's already that. When you hear church, when we think of the church, it should already be unusual. But because we have dumbed down our ways of doing things, we've dumbed down ourselves to religious activities and buildings and ministries and different things of that nature. We've dumbed it down to just those things, not that those things aren't a part of it, but we thought that that was church. Your church is not a building. It's not the pews. It's not your usher board. It's not the choir. It's not even the pastor or the leader or the 5-4 ministry group. The church is not just made up of that. The church is a live, living organism. You are, say, I am the church. Quick definition. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 real quick. Most of the time, we begin to talk about the church and teach about the church from the book of Acts, because we think that that's where the church began and different things of that nature. But I'll show you where the church is and the establishment of the church in Matthew chapter 16. Quick definition real quick. And I got it from this passage when we get to it. And you can go to verse 13, and we'll start there. But I looked up the word church, come from the Greek word. It's called ecclesia. You know, it sounds familiar. It sounds like Ecclesiastic. And the first definition of it is, watch how simple this is. A gathering of citizens called out from their homes in some public place or assembly. So it's an assembly. It's a gathering. Now, we've made it Christian, but there are also other kinds of churches, which is why they can use church is not a Christian term. Church is actually a real basic word. It's a calling out of public, of people, or citizens into a public place and assembling in a public place. All right. Let's see. It's a derivative of a calling out, right? Now, the first part of ecclesia is out of, from, away of, right? The second part, and I'll read this again to you during the semester. It says to call, the ecclesia, the kaleo part, which is like the ecclesia part, is to call, or to call, to invite, to call by name, to give a name to, right? To call or bear the name of, to salute by one name. So you called out by your name. That's why we call it the Christian church. You call out by name. But it is simply a calling out or an assembly. All right? When you become called out, you become the church. Right? When you come out from among them, when you're called out, you are the church. I want to establish where the church gets its definition from. Now, over the years, we've lost this because you know, the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church, and then down through the years, and you break down to, and we'll talk about this more and more, you break down to all the different derivatives of the church. Now, you got this denomination, that denomination. They don't agree with them, and they don't agree with them. And we do it like this, but they do it like this. And y'all stand like that, and y'all saying that y'all wear that, and y'all wear that. And it's all this different confusion, and it becomes confusing like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's just the author of total confusion, right? Ever since the beginning of that, we've got these things that we've established, and we think that they are the church, but if you really start digging down deeper to it, some of them have no foundation. So really, we become religious, we become traditional. The traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. Y'all know in our last class, Live by the Book, we learned that the word was made flesh. The word is actually a living being. So what is it saying? Tradition makes your life ineffective. Tradition makes who you are ineffective. Tradition makes your living being, your lifestyle ineffective. The traditions of men. That's what I'm saying. So we get caught up, and we get caught up in the rules, and now we're caught up with the deacons and the elders and the worship leaders, and we're caught up with so many different things that we begin to miss the point. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, and for context sake, you can read up and you'll see, you know, he was talking to them, they was complaining about who left the bread, and he was like, what are y'all talking about? Y'all didn't see me multiply bread? Disciples were always on something crazy. So he gets down to verse 13, and he says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, I want you to understand now, he's establishing, watch this, he's establishing identity. Listen to me. He's establishing identity. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, Jeremiah, some one of the prophets. Clearly, they've been listening to everybody and seeing what the streets say, right? He said to them, "But whom say you, ye, that I am?" And Simon Peter jumped off the porch and answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amazing answer. And Jesus answered, said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So it wasn't just revealed to you by you just being around me rubbing shoulders. No, my Father revealed this to you. You listening? He said, "And I say also unto thee," and we're going to break that down also unto thee in a couple classes, "that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my," say the word, "church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, many people get the discussion and say, "Well, it's built on Peter." And so if you really thought he was talking about it being built on Peter, then when we get over to the book of Acts and Peter and Paul get into it, you'll really take the steps of Peter and begin to build the church that way. They came into a discrepancy because of how they were doing things, and it didn't look like what Jesus was doing, right? But if you don't read this properly, you think Peter was the rock that the church was built on, right? But if you go back and read it slow, he said, "My Father has not revealed it unto thee." No, "flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church." What rock? This rock. This rock is the revelation that you found. Upon the revelation that I am the Christ is what the church should be built upon. Now, the church is built upon a lot of things right now. It's built on great singing. It's built on if you can give a good spiritual tongue and a prophecy. I tweeted this on my social media the other day. "Go ye into all the world and prophesy." Oh, nope, that's not how it said. It said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." We're building off of prophecy. We build it off of good singing. We give it off of, build off of a revival. We build it off a great conference. We build off of great speakers, great charisma, great all these different things, books, written books, and all these different things. And the church is built on the revelation of the Christ. What the revelation of Christ where? Not just Christ is my Savior, Christ is my deliverer, Christ the one to come back and get me. No, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the revelation he's building upon. "I'll build my church, my assembly, my called out by name, those that I've gathered together for a certain purpose. I call them out. I will build my calling out," right, "upon that rock of Christ on the inside. And I will give of thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." I'm going to keep reading because I want to show us, I want to point out a couple of things of where we missed it and where we lost that. Verse 20, "Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." All right? Which is interesting, seeing that we always want to go run and tell somebody something. "From that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples," listen to this, "how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests, of scribes." That sound like the church people right there. "Wait, what do you mean, Jesus, that you tell the disciples that you got to go to Jerusalem, the holy city, and suffer many things of the centurions and the Romans?" No, I don't say the centurions or the Romans or the heathens. It says he's going to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Oh, my goodness. "And they're going and be killed and raised again on the third." You mean to tell me that the ones in the synagogue are going to be the ones that was going to do the killing and the persecution? Church. What the common church looks like. What the everyday church looks like, not the revealed church. You ready for this? Now Jesus is telling them what's going to happen. He's giving them an understanding of how clear and how this thing's work. He's really telling them how church really works. A lot of us don't know how church works because we think church is about some outfits and some prayers, and you be on prayer on time, and you got a book, and you end up joining the ministry. And now you think church is about that, but church is really right there in that scripture. "You're going to suffer many things of the elders and the chief of priests and the scribes. and be killed and raised again on the third day. Jesus just described to him what church was. Peter couldn't understand that because I don't have that revelation, Jesus. I don't have that. I got the other revelation, but I don't have that revelation of me being got to suffer and all that. That ain't the revelation I got about what the church is going to be. I already got an idea how the church is supposed to look. Peter took him and said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This should not be unto thee." Verse 23. But he turned unto Peter. This is the same Peter that said, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." It's funny how I notice this a lot of times when I minister some things that may be kind of in your face and hard, and you got to deny yourself, lose your life. Lose your life to find it. Leave your father, mother, wife, and children. Forsake them, right? I notice a lot of times when we get to talking like that, everybody starts saying, "That ain't it. You got to sit him down. We don't want amen that. We don't want to clap down too loud." Because you have an idea of how Jesus works. You have an idea of what church is, and you really have no idea. It's the same Peter, but he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me. Wow, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men, the traditions of men that made the word of God of none effect. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You will build the church. And Peter started doing some of it. We're going to read it in the book of Acts and going through. You will build the church based on the savoring of what men desire, or what men think, or men's ways of doing things. Listen to what I'm saying. Those that be of men. Then Jesus turned to disciples. Then he said to the disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." We're talking church now. This is what the church looks like. Church ain't just putting the oil on you. Are you getting ordained to be or whatever? Are you getting licensed to be whatever? Nah, this is church right here. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me." You can't follow me if you ain't picked up the cross. And you can't pick up the cross if you haven't denied yourself. Don't skip steps. Deny yourself, take up the cross, follow. You cannot be a follower of Jesus if you're not denied and taken up the cross, right? You will not take up the cross if you have not denied yourself. So now that X you out from being a follower of Jesus. A lot of people like it. A lot of people call themselves followers of Jesus in the scripture, but they were only following to get what Jesus was blessing them with. He told them, he said, "I know y'all just only follow me because y'all want to see the miracles. I know y'all only follow me because y'all want the bread. Y'all want me to feed y'all again. Y'all don't really get. Y'all not here to partake in my lifestyle. Y'all not here to partake in the lifestyle that I'm living." A lot of people join the church the same way. They joined it because we done scared the hell out of them. We done told them, "You're going to burn in hell as a fiery pit." So like, hey, y'all, I don't want to burn in the fiery pit. I don't even like how hot it is in the summer. I'll say the prayer. And you don't even get the point. Some people go because they're dealing with an issue. Some people come because they're dealing with problems. And yes, Jesus will help you take care of your problems. He will use the miracle working power on the inside of you to overcome your own problems. Yes, he will do those things. But what is your intention? He said, many going to say, "Lord, Lord." He said, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You workers of iniquity." We don't know what church looked like. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." See, we don't know what church looks like. See, we come in trying to get something, and we don't realize we got something already. But you got to lose what your idea of life is in order to see what your true life is. This is church. I'm teaching you church right now. This is what church unusual. This is why Jesus did so many unusual things. Because he understood this, right? "For what profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Is a question. "For the Son of Man coming to glory of his Father with his angels, and then he reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here that shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." We do not know what church looks like because we got so involved in our rhetoric and our rituals. Church looks like dying. Church looks like denying yourself, taking up the cross and follow me. And no, let's go back. Now we get excited. We shout on this. This is another one. I talked about context and that. This is another one. Because we read that and talk about, yes, the revelation. And we get, we get to read and die one. He said, "I will give thee the keys of the kingdom." Woo, hallelujah. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven," right? And we get all excited. Hey! And then he starts talking about how he got to die. Hey, if you're a disciple of Christ, if you're really walking with him, you too. That's why he says, "If you're a man that come to me, let deny yourself and take up the cross," because you got to be taking up the cross to come get crucified too. He told that rich young ruler, we'll go to another chapter. He told the rich young ruler, go sell what you have, give to the poor, then take up the cross. Lay up yourself treasures in heaven, then take up the cross and come follow me. He went away sad, for he had great possessions. He didn't want to hear that. I'm not trying to take up no cross. This is church. This is what church looks like, right? Denying yourself, denying the ideas that other people put in us about how we're supposed to be. This is what church is. This is what church looks like. Yeah? So we're gonna break that down in this class a little bit more. We're gonna go into detail. And we're gonna see some places where we might have veered off, or veered into another place, or touched on, or went some ways that we thought was church, but we was actually savoring the things that be of men, and not of God. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. And this is the rock that I'm building my church on.